preschool sports, and much more. We will take a break. We'll come back with a bunch of fun right here on
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. We begin with new and troubling details out of Chester County, Pennsylvania, in the search for escaped convict Danilo Cavalcante. Here's CBS Philadelphia's Brandon Goldner.
A resident reported to police a man matching Cavalcante's description stole a .22 caliber rifle with a scope from them during a confrontation. The resident told police during the confrontation they fired shots at the person. It's unclear if that suspect was hit.
He escaped almost 2 weeks ago. He had just been convicted of murdering his ex-girlfriend. This just in, sources tell CBS News that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy intends to back an impeachment inquiry against President Biden and is expected to tell House Republicans this week it is the logical next step. It's a race against time to find survivors trapped beneath the rubble after the earthquake in Morocco. Our Chris Livesay reports from deep in the Atlas Mountains.
I heard my sister screaming, "Brother, brother, save us." I rescued her and her son and her husband, says Mohamed Uchin. We used our bare hands because we didn't have tools. But such scenes of joy, more common shortly after the quake, are growing increasingly rare.
Well, it now looks like there is a possibility Hurricane Lee could make landfall in the U.S. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams with the latest on the Category 3 storm.
It could bring dangerous surf and rip currents. And if you live on the Cape in Massachusetts or Maine, keep a close eye on Lee as we head into the weekend, as you are now in the cone.
The largest antitrust trial is set to begin in just a few hours in Washington, D.C., in a case against Google. Legal expert Thane Rosenbaum on what this is all about.
How did Google get to the position that they could dominate over 90% around the world the search function and online advertising? Is it because they're better? They offer a better product?
New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers got hurt last night during Monday Night Football. Coach Robert Saleh.
Concerned with his Achilles. MRI is probably going to confirm what we think is already going to happen. So prayers tonight, but it's not good.
Now, despite Rodgers going down, the Jets still managed to win in overtime, 22-16. Well, tonight it's the MTV Video Music Awards, and for the first time, only women are nominated for the Artist of the Year. Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Doja Cat, Karol G, Shakira, and Nicki Minaj are up for it. Minaj is also your host. She did hosting duties alongside Lil Wayne and Jack Harlow last year. This year, though, it is all her. You can stream the awards on Paramount Plus. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/...
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 64. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows dip down to about 41. Mainly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 65. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 49.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and kicking it off with WFHR is the right way to do it. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good start to that day. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one. We're going to dive into some entertainment news. After that, we're going to get into, a little bit later, the most annoying work terms. Got to get into that a little bit. We got some That Ain't Right stories for you. Good stories of the day. All kinds of fun stuff coming up. Right now, we kick off with a little bit of entertainment news. And we were talking about this yesterday. The Drew Barrymore Show resumed taping yesterday. And they're not using writers. So they're not violating the Writers Guild strike rules, but the WGA is not happy about it. Two audience members showed up wearing WGA pins that were handed to them by picketers outside the studio, and those two audience members were asked to leave before the show started. Not asked to take the pins off. Not asked to...
Straight up asked to leave.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, after they got kicked out of the show, both of them were so upset that they joined the picket line.
What did they think was going to happen?
A spokesperson for the show later said that they were rejected due to, quote, heightened security concerns, and added that Drew was completely unaware of the incident. So here is an hearing from Mike Schur and some other the writers that are literally on the streets right now protesting this and fighting for this. There's a couple of things that I really feel like are not getting covered, obviously, by the media. For one, the media has an agenda. The people right. that the people that are holding this line, the greedy top 1% that is making it so difficult for this strike right now, they own most of these companies that are producing commercials or are news stations or any of that. It is in their interest, in their best interest, for you out there, the American human, the American person out there, the American citizen, sorry,
the consumer of these shows.
Yes, to think that the writers and the actors are selfish, greedy celebrities who all they want is their money, and all this, and how greedy they are, and how dare they? It should be about the art and all this. When they are the one, it's gaslighting, is what they're doing. They are straight gaslighting up on a global level right now. And Drew Barrymore, I don't think anybody's going to say is a jerk. You know, she seems like a sweetheart, seems like a very good person that has a big heart, a really, really big heart. And her
in a difficult industry.
Yeah. And her defense for doing this, for opening her show back up was, well, I have a lot of people on my team that are out of work right now. And I want them to be able to get back to work. There's the best boy, the guy that holds the boom. There's her caterers. There's all kinds of other people in this industry and in these jobs. And we get that. I don't think anybody begrudges that. And I feel for them. You know who else I feel for? The actors and the writers. Who none of those people have a job without these people. The other part of this, a strike doesn't work if there are breaks in the chain.
Right.
Now that she did this, exactly what I said is going to happen. The Jennifer Hudson show, Sherry, The Talk, they're all going to be back. Watch. They'll all come back. All of these shows that can get away with this. And before that, there will be other shows and other movies, and there will be other gray areas where people will want to. And before you know it, we've got acting, we've got movies and TV shows in production and no contract in place.
Right. Yep. And no protection for the writers, nothing that they've been working for this whole time is going to come to fruition.
And keep this in mind. This is not just for writers and actors. This is not just for us. This is for future generations. It's more about the future generations than it is us. Most of the actors and writers that are in this strike, half of them, their careers are half over already. It's about others. It's about the young people. And it's about you out there. Do you not want creativity? Do you not want to be entertained? Do you not want to be entertained? Seriously.
And it's also about equal pay. You know, not necessarily equal pay, but being paid what you're worth.
Just pay. Justice. Yeah. The actual... when you've got a... you've got take the guy from Netflix, take the owner of Netflix. That man is making millions and millions and millions through the sentence I just said. What he is upset about is writers getting paid hundreds of dollars. Not thousands, hundreds. He is saying that we are being greedy, that we are being selfish about this. That how dare we want to take away from his, when we want 2% of the pie, he's saying that that's too much. I don't know. I don't know how anybody could be on their side on this one.
I think a lot of it is a lack of true perception of the difference between CEO pay and what the rest of us make. Yeah. It's, you know, it used to be 1 to 20. You know, I think that I saw a recent poll that said most people think it's about, you know, 1 to 70 or something like that now. No, it's 1 to 399. So for every $1 you make, they make $400.
Yeah, the idea of the Bill Maher's and people like that out there who they live in these bubbles, and because they already have a career that they've already established, and I did this, girl, I had to do this and I had to do that. Miss me with that. You know what? The writers and the comedians before you, Bill, had to go through a lot of stuff too that you didn't have to go through. That's what trailblazing is. That's what why we have OSHA, why we have unions, why we have different things, and something that in this state I would think people would back pretty hardcore is unions. You kind of created them. You would I know Wisconsinites are pretty proud of the things that you create here, you know, whether it's cranberries or anything in the dairy industry. Unions should be a part of that.
Yes.
And when it comes to that, this country should be behind it. This country was founded on people, not government, not, the top 1% or anything like that. And this all comes back to that. It is a bigger deal than I think that the media is ever going to give the due diligence it deserves. But I will say this, and you can go ahead and play this back and rub it in my face if you want. The producers, they are going to flinch first. They will flinch first. It is just a matter of time. The writers, the actors, they are not budging on this. They can't. No. They can't. It's not a matter of, oh, we wish we could. They literally can't. If we do, it's the end of the game. Mm-hmm. How many people are going into the coal industry? How many people? How many people are going to school right now or are in school right now? And you're like, I don't need to go to college. I'm going to get into coal. That's where I'm going. Well, that's what happens to this industry if you don't let it adapt, if you don't change with it, and if you don't pay and give people the credit they deserve for their product, mm-hmm. for the things they create.
Yeah.
Especially when you got this kind of thing happening. Disney is increasing their prices again. Every couple months, we're going to do this story. You go ahead and throw out a streaming service, and every couple of months, we're going to... They mess this up so badly... that they could do a master class on how not to do this, and they're not paying the price. We are, because everybody jumped into the streaming game, and everybody thought that they could get away with no ads and no and low prices and all this, but at the same time make these $1 million productions, and that somehow that would even out. I don't know how any of these people got in the positions they did, first of all. half of these decisions just feel like, winging it. Let's see if this works. Let's try this.
Fake it till we make it.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have things like this happening where the consumers are the ones that end up paying, literally. Disney is increasing their prices for their ad-free tiers of Disney Plus and Hulu starting October 12th. Disney Plus will go from $10.99 to $13.99. The annual plan will rise from $109 to $139. And so on. They're also launching...
And maybe that doesn't seem like a very big jump, but wait till the next jump.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's how they're doing this. Every couple months, they're doing a buck here, a buck there, and before you know it, what it was a year ago and what it is now is going to be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
In related news, to celebrate its 100th anniversary, Disney is releasing a Blu-ray box set of 100 of its best animated films for $1,500. So yeah, go ahead and buy the Disney Legacy Animated Film Collection for $1,000 or for over $1,000.
Wow.
Disney, we want your money. It's their tagline.
New ad campaign. Yeah.
Yep. Just one more story for you here, entertainment-wise. Wonka, the movie that this should be being released sometime this summer, I believe. It's a kind of like... it's a prequel to the Willy Wonka story.
Okay.
The Wonka director, Paul King, says the Timothée Chalamet, who is playing Willy Wonka, the young Willy Wonka, says his voice reminds him of Bing Crosby.
Oh.
He says, quote, Timothy's got a beautiful singing voice. There's quite a range because it does go from a couple of bigger showtoppery sort of things to moments of real pure emotion. He can do it all. I'm going to sound like a crazed fan, but you once you hear him, you'll hear what I hear.
Okay. And this is a musical fantasy. Is how it is, being promoted.
Yeah, they're trying to make it very clear that they're not making it very clear. They're trying really hard to walk the line here. They're saying it's not a musical; it's a movie with songs. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
What's the difference?
An opera is a play with people singing words. It's not an opera. It's people singing words. What are we doing? I am excited about that movie, though, I will say.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's got a stellar cast. It's, I mean, it's got Hugh Grant and Rowan Atkinson. I can't say his name. Thank you.
No, Atkinson. That's okay. I never get to do that. I think that's the first time in my life.
Red letter day for James.
Yeah, I'm writing this down. September 12th, I got to... Thank you for that. Even if
it, you're welcome.
I really appreciate that. I generally do. Thank you.
But it's got a great cast.
It really does. It looks like a good one, too. And one of the things I've really enjoyed about this this kid, Timothy Chalamet, I feel like he gets it. He gets the industry. He gets the game. He got the part, and the first thing he did was give a shout-out to Gene Wilder and his legacy and what he did with the role, and talking about how he wanted to honor that. And I thought that was a pretty cool place to start.
Yeah.
We'll come back and we'll have a good start when we get back on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Youth sports are community sports. When you run into an old friend while you're cheering on your local team,
hi there,
or making your way back to your seat and asking what you missed, Youth Athletics brings the community together. Help us support local high school and amateur sports by joining our team of amazing sponsors. Call Ashley today at 715-496-0710. That's 715-496-0710. And join us as we continue to keep our community connected.
Matt LePay for Steinhoffels. Since 1934, Steinhoffels has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress destination for quality, selection, and service. Steinhoffels is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. During the weekend of September 22nd through the 24th, visit any Wisconsin Steinhoffels store, spend $2,999 or more, and get a $100 in-store or online gift card to the University Bookstore to get the latest Badgers gear and apparel. Relax. It's Steinhoffels.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon, otherwise mainly cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 64, winds out of the north 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, lows dip down to about 41, mainly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 65, tomorrow mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 49.
Welcome back. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Got an interesting article here for us. The most annoying work terms. Most annoying work terms. One in five people say that they hate corporate buzzwords, partly because we hear them so much.
Okay. Corporate buzzwords.
85% of workers say they hear annoying terms like this at least once a week. 40% said once a day.
Whoa.
Let's see how many of them I do. Let's see.
Yeah. I'm curious to know what these buzzwords are.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go right in. The most common one we hear is, that's a win-win.
Okay.
Yeah. I use that one. I use that one. I do.
But I don't really use it at work. Per se, I mean, I think that it has its place, but if it's overused, yeah, that would definitely get old.
How about new normal? Like, sorry, but corporate buzzwords are the new normal.
Well, I think that one got overused during toward the tail end of the pandemic, I think, and into the where we are now.
Culture. Like, we've got a good corporate culture here. The culture at that business is really good, that kind of thing. There's a lot about this in sports. You hear this one in sports. The Miami Heat have a good culture, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so it's just getting overused.
Yeah.
Got it.
Circle back. Let's circle back to that one later.
Diversify your vocabulary. Let's revisit this another time.
Yeah, let's just
talk about this later. Yeah. Just say what it is.
I just got to word things differently. That's all.
Yeah, don't use the same ones over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I've ever said that one. Circle back. I don't think I've ever. I would say that if I was a general in the Old West. Let's circle back the wagons, everybody. Let's. Yeah.
I think they poked fun at Jen Psaki when she was the chief press secretary.
Yes.
at the beginning of Biden's presidency, because she used that one a few times, and then they were poking fun at her about that.
Yeah.
She's an incredibly smart woman.
Yes, incredibly. It just shows you how easily that can happen to anybody. When I first started in radio, Panama gave me, three rules. That was it. He showed me how to turn the mic on. He told me not to swear. And he told me it's not 103.3, it's just 103.3. That's it. Oh, and you don't have to say 96 degrees. Just say it's 96 out. That kind of thing.
Yes.
I went on the air and immediately said 103.3. Because in my head, I was like, don't say 0.3. Don't say 0.3. Don't say 0.3.
And that's what comes out of your mouth.
Yes, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we all can be guilty of some of this stuff.
Yes.
Boots on the ground. We might need more boots on the ground over here.
We're not at war in the office.
I used to do this when I was younger, and I have learned from both my grandparents, who were Marines, both my grandfathers, I should say, that I don't like to use terms like loosely anymore like this. You won't hear me say, well, Green Bay and Chicago are going into war. It's a war. War is
we're
war.
Under fire here in Rapids.
Yeah. So. I used to love being able to do this. Anybody who hears me talk for 5 seconds knows I like metaphors and idioms and all that and comparisons and all that. But as we've gotten so far away from what words actually mean and we've gotten so far away from people being able to, like, I can go to somebody and say, hey, you said this, and actually play the recording, and that person could be like, that's not me. I didn't say that. As we're getting more and more of that stuff, because it doesn't seem to be correcting itself. I really hoped it would, but it's not. It's more important than ever to say what we mean, to truly use words with the definition that they are intended. Throwing around the terms like war or boots on the ground,
or
these
calling
kind of
people a rock star.
Yeah, that's the one that I had to work on, that one, because I did that a lot.
Because there was a period of time there where it was, that was the buzzword of the day.
Yeah. How about give 110%?
Give your all, and then, I don't know, give some more.
Yeah, I love that every time I've ever heard this, pretty much somebody either out loud,
rolls their eyes,
or under their breath, you can technically only give 100%. Like, there's always that person. It's the same person that can't wait to tell you, actually, Frankenstein was the name of the doctor, not the monster. It's that same person,
Technically correct. Yes. Okay. Get that. But
kind of annoying. No. Kind of annoying.
But also kind of annoying to be told, do your best and then do better than your best and somehow do more than you're technically capable of doing. That's not possible.
What's funny to me, Melissa, that person I was describing that said, that responds with those terms, is the same person that would say 110%. It's the same type of person.
Or the person that gives their all and does work as hard as they can at what they're doing.
I will probably laugh in your face if you tell me to give 110%. I don't know many more human beings that give every single thing that they got to everything they do like I do. If you ask me to give 10 more percent to that, I will die. I'm going to laugh you out of the room. I give 100% to everything I do. And if you got any questions about that, bring somebody else into the fold. Because I only know one speed. And I know a lot of people like that. And, the idea of it feels like a very smack in your face kind of thing.
Well, it does, because it's disparaging of the work that you're already doing.
Yeah. It seems like if you are the person saying this to somebody, especially if you are saying this to employees, it feels like you're not actually paying attention to your employees.
Mm-hmm.
Win-win. That one we've kind of covered.
Yeah.
I think that one's one of the more safer ones to use, just because there are situations where, wow, both things worked out. Everybody wins. Win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has its place.
Oh, God, am I guilty of this one? Low-hanging fruit.
You do say that a lot.
I do. I say that one quite a bit. Yeah. I gotta get that one out of my lexicon. I gotta get that out there. How about move the needle?
Hmm.
That really moved the needle, you know.
We don't want to say that in our industry.
No,
because we want you to keep the dial right where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
not that radios have needles anymore, but...
That's a good point, actually. That's a good point. And it's funny you said that, because I agreed with you, but I thought you were going to say our levels, you know, as far as... Like, I'm looking at the levels.
Oh, like our sound?
Yeah. I keep an eye on our levels whenever we're talking, and I make sure I don't go past 10. I make sure you mm-hmm. don't go past 10, that kind of thing. I thought that's where you're going with it. I like that actually even better, though, what you said. That's much better. I've never heard this one before. Growth hacking.
Growth hacking. I can't say I have either.
It's coming up with cheap and easy ways to expand business or gain exposure. Like,
oh, like a life hack or...
Yeah, yeah. Growth hack. Okay. I don't know... I don't know how I react if I hear that term, because that is not where my mind is going. I don't know if you want to know where my mind goes on that one. I don't know.
Growth hack. I'm thinking like easier ways to propagate plants. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. No, thank you. No. And finally on the list, and I think that this would be the number one on the list, even if we were doing this in the 80s or the 70s or the 60s, think outside the box. Where is this box? Mm-hmm.
There is no box.
Where is this box?
I've never seen the box.
I've never seen it. Not once. What color is the box? How big is the box? How do I get out of this box? Is there a door? Are there multiple doors?
Yeah. Yeah. Who put us in the box in the first place?
Oh, great question. Answer Melissa's first, please. Answer, then you can get to mine. But yes.
And then you can go visit Out of the Box Coffee House there in Rapids and get some amazing coffee and sit on their roof.
Yes, yes. Now, that's the only time that term should be used, is right there for our good friends over at Outside the Box. You can get yourself some good cup of Joe over there. Great, good morning to our friends over there. Good stuff. Are there any that you can think of that... I think, again, I'm thinking of ones that I use. I'm calling myself out on this one because I do this. Game changer, I think, is one I say a lot.
Yeah, you and your sports references.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very guilty of it. Very, very. I'm working. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying, but.
But also in the industry we work in, too, we have end up using some of these things out of necessity almost.
Yeah.
But we all do it. In every walk of life and in every industry, I think they're part of our lexicon.
And I really do think that a lot of people, it's really easy for us on the air because our words are, you know, are under a microscope. And we understand that. That's a job we signed up for and everything. But when it comes to most people in their day-to-day lives, you've got terms that you lean on. Terms that you fall back on all the time. It's what our brains do. Our brains are usually multitasking. And so if we're talking to somebody in a conversation about a subject, we tend to be, especially if it's work related, and we're talking about a project where our brain is already working on that project and we're answering the other person and like, yeah. That's a win-win, or way to think outside the box, or way to move the needle. way to give 110%. You know, it's just these quick terms that are right there for us, like knowing the answer to 2 + 2.
And they're also kind of all trying to build up another person or be positive in some way.
True.
You know, all those ones you just said. Mm-hmm. So do we just need more ways to... show affirmation to others that they're doing a good job, or that, you know, we appreciate what they're doing? It's the day of appreciation. Just say, you know, you're great.
Melissa, I think that's a really insightful point. I didn't even think of that. I think we've leaned on these phrases and these ideas so long that we're not coming up, or we're not just saying, hey, great job. You don't have to come up with some real creative.
I appreciate the work you did on this project.
Yeah, yeah, we're overthinking this. Just say what you're feeling. Just say what you think.
I don't know. Give them something to tell them you appreciate them. Like, How about a shirt?
Yeah, yeah. How about a shirt, everybody?
Let's give away a shirt. Can we do that?
Yeah.
I'm calling an audible.
Yeah, nicely done. Nicely. A sports reference. Yeah. Yeah, let me get my winning bell here. Yeah.
Had to do it.
We'll call it audible. We got Melissa's news coming up, so why not? A perfect time to do it. If you want a shirt, you can get one. Call up right now, 715-424-2600. That's 424-2600. And we just want to hear from you. One of your favorite things about WFHR. One of your things? You like the high school sports? You like our news coverage? You like our shows? Anything?
You like the commercials I give 110% on every
yes,
time?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. 424-2600. As long as you know what size you are, you can win a shirt.
And maybe even a sticker.
If you don't know your size, we'll help you with that. Don't worry. Well, we'll look on the back of your shirt. But either way, 424-2600, call up and join us and get yourself a new shirt. You can have your choice of the WFHR or WIRI shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And we got stickers. We're going to give you, too.
I love the stickers. They're fun.
They really are great. They're great.
And they're good quality stickers, too.
Man, thank you for saying that. I was really surprised how good these stickers are. They really are great. Let's go ahead and take a call here. Good morning. You're on the show calling about the shirt.
Hey, James, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Gary?
Not bad.
Good
deal. All I got to say is when I listen to you guys, there's more information than there's in the paper.
Appreciate that, Gary. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah. Gary, what size are you?
Shirts, I'm a large.
You're large? All right. Gary, we're going to have a shirt right over here up front with Pam for you, okay?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes.
Thanks for listening, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. We appreciate you. We have to get to Melissa's news. We'll talk more soon, sir. Thank you. One of our great longtime listeners right there. Appreciate you, Gary. We'll get to Mel's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show, WFHR, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. One man is dead after an altercation at a Kano Lodge in Stevens Point on Friday. The incident took place around 8:30 p.m. on September 9th. Police were called with a report of an unconscious man after a fight. News 7 reports a 49-year-old husband attacked his common-law wife when a second man stepped in and tried to stop it. The two men started fighting and the husband was put in a chokehold. When EMS arrived, the 49-year-old husband was still alive, but he later died at the hospital. The other man was transported to the hospital with injuries. The case is still under investigation. The Marathon County Sheriff's Office is conducting a multi-agency training exercise today between 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. It will include several partnering agencies with approximately 60 law enforcement professionals near the Duane L. Corbin shooting range. It will also extend to the southern portion of the 9-mile forest recreation area. This is a training exercise only, and there is no threat to the public. One Big Tent of Portage County is a partnership of diverse faith-based organizations working within the community to promote human dignity.
It's just about being a good neighbor.
That's Jane Johnson, board member and companion with One Big Tent. The organization operates out of the Create Portage County Idea Center several days a week, providing ready access to resources that can increase the long-term stability of individuals and families. Board member and companion Judy Cumley explains they are there to help everyone who needs it.
There are a lot of our neighbors that are really struggling, that have jobs, that have permanent shelter, but hit a rough patch.
To find out more information or how you can help, visit onebigtentpc.org or find them on Facebook. Members of the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534 will be at Culver's on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids today. They'll greet you at the door between 4 and 8 p.m. 10% of all purchases on Tuesday will go to support programs and operation of the post. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News on WFHR and WIRI, your locally grown radio stations.
It's time for another edition of the Fall Time Quiz. Okay, what's the most important thing to do for your home in the fall? A, clean the gutters. B, rake the leaves. Or C, get your septic and holding tank pumped.
Well, my wife wants me to do all three, but I'll go with getting the holding tank pumped.
That's right! And for the big prize, who should you call?
Crockett Septic. Their trucks smell like cherry pie.
Right again! Just call 715-712-3456, and Crockett Septic can take care of it for you. Now go do those gutters!
Rocket Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Rocket Septic, be there in a jiff. Rocket Septic, no more nasty whiff. Rocket Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 64. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows dip down to about 41. Mainly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 65. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 49.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you.
Mm-hmm.
We got an interesting one right here, Melissa. The median age of the U.S. population is 38 years old, which means that roughly about half of Americans remember when a worker at Pizza Hut would say smoking or non-smoking.
Okay.
Most of us remember those days.
Yeah.
Americans are split 50-50 on a lot of issues, but smoking inside casual restaurants is something that most of us would not want to bring back.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new article out on Vice where someone makes the case for bringing smoking sections back, or at least relaxing the rules. Just a quick pause. Man, what happened to Vice? Like, Vice at first was doing some really, really interesting and
investigative reporting type stuff.
Yeah, really good stuff. And it's like they seem like a bit like a
sellout.
Big time. That's great. Nicely done, Melissa. Yes, big time sellouts. But even before like the sellout thing became very clear, it felt like a business that had one good idea and like ran out.
Or got bought out.
Nicely done. The writers say smoking a cigarette indoors, like at a bar or a strip club, is one of God's little divine offerings. These are sacred spaces in which to partake in an ancient pastime. God, is that the most whiny use of words I may have seen in a long time? You are trying so hard to sell the fact that you just want to be able to smoke in public
inside.
Again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we all remember those. Well, I should say most of us remember the smoking section. Mm. I'm sorry, there is no actual smoking section.
If you're
in a restaurant and there's one area that's just like, I don't know, got a kind of a partition between it and the rest of the restaurant, you can still smell the cigarette smoke.
I've never, I remember this quite fondly, and I remember never going into a non-smoking section and not smelling smoke. I don't mm-hmm. ever remember once in my life ever being in a non-smoking section and not smelling smoke.
No.
They point out that places like coffee shops probably don't need to have smoking sections, although it would be a lot cooler if they did. They also said they'd enjoy the return of smoking sections in restaurants. But even if indoor cigarette smoking never comes back, the writer argues that big venues and attractions, especially outdoor ones, should have dedicated sections. And that they should apply to all smokers, including vapors, people that vape. So everyone has a place to go, and it can be a communal thing. On one hand, other countries are more chill about smoking, particularly in places like outdoor patios. And the rules here, especially in cities, may seem overboard to smokers, who are completely banned from a lot of public places, even some sidewalks. That said, secondhand smoke is a health hazard, and there's a reason why there's been such a massive movement to restrict it.
Yes.
We don't put plastic in everything anymore. We don't put asbestos.
We shouldn't.
We don't put asbestos in our buildings anymore. Like we grow and evolve as a society.
As we learn that things are damaging, we're learning about PFAS now and trying to get them out of our waterways.
The person that is just like with every little bit of strength they got hanging on to this like this romanticized version of the past.
Like, remember when we could smoke on airplanes or in the doctor's office?
Yeah. And I also remember a lot of our generations growing up, with stunted growth lungs that didn't grow to their complete capacity.
Yeah, hacking their brains out.
Yeah.
The smoker's cough.
What are we doing? Why are we taking it? Why are we so anxious to take two steps backwards? Like, we've got a real interesting thing happening, and there's a word that I keep using too much, too interesting, going on in our world, and not just in our country, in our world, where you've got a lot of people trying to hang on to certain things, and you've got a lot of people trying to evolve the human race and get to a better day, and get to the future. I love nostalgia. I love the past.
Yes.
I'm a history nerd. I love going down these things. But if you actually are a true lover of history, you are reading on what real history is. And to a lot of people, like that they say, back in the 50s or back in the 60s, it was this way. Well, maybe it was that way for you, but it wasn't for all Americans. It wasn't for all people, especially for ethnic people. Like, you gotta get outside of your own vision sometimes. You know, have some empathy. Try to put yourself in some other people's shoes. And in doing that, I'm asking people to do. I'm even asking myself to do that with smokers. Okay, let's say that. Let's give this. It's let's go ahead and play this out a little bit. Let's say that we do something like this. We have smoking sections and outdoor venues and outdoor establishments for smokers. Or vapors or whatever. Okay, that's done. What are we saying to the youth? We're telling everybody that smoking is bad, and then we're also giving areas for it. Like, it's
well,
I don't. Okay, so you have rules and regulations in place for if I'm in a wheelchair, an establishment has to have a place for me to be able to get in. Okay, what I don't like is people piggybacking on that and saying and trying to include this argument with that. It's two different worlds. You chose to smoke. I chose to smoke. I smoked for over 15 years.
It's got health implications that affect you.
Yep.
Now, when you take those health, things that damage your health, and you inflict them on other people, that's where the line is drawn.
Right. Right.
So, if you want to have an outdoor venue where people can smoke, how can you actually separate that from the rest of the outside? You kind of can't.
424-2600. I'd love to hear from anybody out there if you've got another take on this or another angle on it or just want to go ahead and give talk about it with us. 424-2600. Because I am removed from this. I'm going on August was 4 years, or no, 3 years, no, 4 years for me since I stopped smoking. But I don't forget what it was like. I know that I was smoking towards the tail end of when, especially when I was out in California. I could have been walking around with polka dot hair in a Speedo and not gotten the looks I got when I would have a cigarette. I felt like the whole entire state of California was staring at me anytime I had a cigarette when I was living out there. I get where if you are a smoker, you feel ostracized or you feel like, you're being picked on.
And looked down on and judged.
I don't want that for any group of society. I don't want that for anybody. But I don't think that we win anybody over. Like, say that your goal is, I want everybody to stop smoking. Well, that's not going to happen with you talking down to
being
people.
Being judgy.
Yes, no. Or any of that. So I'm not trying to do that either.
You can't shame people into changing what they're choosing to do with their body. You really can't.
But you can't have it both ways either. You can't make that personal choice and then demand that society respects your personal choice. Like that, there's a difference of being a born something or having something happen to you and, the, you know,
making
and,
a choice.
And making a choice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We you can buy cigarettes. They are legal. It's a legal thing. So we have no issue with
when
that.
When you're of a certain age.
Yes. Yes. So with that, you know, hey, you've got carte blanche. Go ahead. However, mm-hmm. you can't do it here, 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 and here. We do this with firearms. We do this with plenty of other things.
You got to wear shoes when you go into a store and a shirt.
Yep.
I mean, you know, there are certain societal laws that we have, and we have them for good reason.
There are a lot of opportunities in life to fight for your freedoms. There are real things going on right now that take your that need your energy, that need your attention when it comes to freedoms that we have and things that we want to keep. I don't feel like, I don't know. There's too much at stake right now to be spending our time or energy on certain things, I feel like. And this mm-hmm. is important, sure. But is it as important as, you know, 50, 60 other things I could bring up right now? I don't know.
Access to healthcare, access to education. I mean, there are a lot of things that, like you said, are at stake. Being able to smoke in a restaurant again? Probably not one of them.
Yeah, I'm not. That's not on my. That's not in my top 1,000 of things I'm concerned about. Even when I was smoking, it wasn't a concern of mine. When I was smoking, and maybe it's because of the way I grew up, and I just didn't like cigarettes when I was growing up. But I never wanted to smoke around people that didn't smoke. And if I did, I removed myself not just from the room, but almost from the building half the time.
Well, and even you know, in my childhood, I never smoked. But I was married to a smoker. And most people I know even in the 90s and the early 2000s tried to be considerate of the people around them that didn't smoke.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this isn't that I feel like not only is this not that difficult, we already figured this out.
It's kind of a non-issue.
Yeah, we already worked this out. What are we doing backtracking? We got too much to do, man. We can't afford to be backtracking.
I mean, it does make sense to point out to people that vapes and things of that nature you're still smoking. You're still exhaling a vapor into the air that other people can smell and be around. And so it's worth pointing out to people that while they're different than cigarettes, they kind of still the same and the same rules should apply.
There's a lot of data that we don't know yet about vaping. There's a lot that we are still, you know, trying to figure out. And while that's going on, we cannot afford to be, you know, just doing this willy-nilly.
And I'm not just saying that from a place of just, I don't know, whatever. I actually had to explain that to a substitute teacher who pulled out a vape in the teacher's lounge in high school and thought it was okay to vape in the teacher's lounge.
I'm a little sidetracked right now, Melissa. I don't know if in my life I've ever said willy-nilly. I don't know where that came from. I think that my brain is trying really hard not to go back to those business phrases, and so I just reached.
You're in
my
conscious of.
Yeah, yeah, and my brain found willy nilly sitting somewhere way in the back of my lexicon, just way you know, back there. Like, hey, try
piggly
this one.
Piggly. There's a lot of fun ones out there.
Hey, nobody said this in a long time. Go ahead, and say willy nilly. Go ahead, try that.
You know what's really fun? Looking at what they say in other countries.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that that's where we should get a lot more of our, you know, slang terms now. We should, and other countries should steal ours. That's what we should do. We should just go, we should have export and import of our slang terms. That's what
we're going to have a Clack McLaren in the front yard here today. So let's go get to that.
We will come back and take care of the rest of the show on Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered storms this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Highs around 64, winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tonight, chance for scattered storms, lows dip down to about 41. Mainly clear. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 65. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 54.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here. We got to work. We have to work. We cannot say we don't want to work all day. We just want to bang on the drum. We have to kind of, you know, work. So we're going to do that. We got some fun ways to wrap up our show here. And this is an interesting one, Melissa. This That Ain't Right story is going to go in a little bit of a different direction, but hang with me on this.
Okay.
Earlier this year, the U.S. became the latest country to ban the sale of most common iridescent bulbs because they're insufficient, both for your pocket and the environment.
Yes.
But one guy loves iridescence so much that he went out and spent almost $2,000 on a, quote, lifetime supply of light bulbs that's about 3,500 of them.
Okay.
And if you're thinking this is a 72-year-old guy living in a cabin in West Virginia, you are wrong. His name is Kevin. He's 25-year-old software developer from New Hampshire.
Kevin. Of course it is.
Yeah, right. Kevin thinks the ban is government overreach, and he prefers the look of iridescent lights over LEDs. But it's more than that. He's been a collector of light bulbs, a light bulb aficionado for years, and is a member of an antique group that share information on vintage light bulbs.
Okay. So it's an area of special interest to him.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he isn't selling his. He said, I did the math. I have a bunch of spreadsheets with all of the lighting fixtures in my house, and I have almost exactly the amount of bulbs I'm going to need for the next 75 years.
Hopefully he doesn't ever move.
Yeah, or... I mean, good luck, man. Good luck with that.
Well, so he's choosing to make this choice, and for himself, great. He took all of those bulbs off the market.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
He's increasing his own electricity bill for the rest of his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Also his choice. I don't know. Personal choice, man.
Personal choice. I mean, I can think of off the top of my head 100 things that I would rather spend $2,000 on.
Yes, easily.
There's a type of person that digs their feet in, and even when you give them overwhelming evidence of to the contrary, they will not budge.
Yeah.
And I look at that as such a sad existence, such a lame, sad existence.
The hill you chose to die on is incandescent light bulbs.
Yeah. Okay. Like, all right, buddy. Hey, way to go, Kev.
You know, we were just talking about nostalgia and having an appreciation for history. That's awesome. And he's part of a group that does collectible, you know, light fixtures. If you look at the history of lighting over the course of humanity, it is fascinating. It's cool. Museums are great places for those things. I'm not going to choose to do it in my own household.
And the terminology of government overreach is another set of terms that are getting overused.
They're getting appropriated.
There is a government in place for a reason. We hire these people to do a job, and that is to pass bills and laws to make our country and our world safer. If we just said, hey, let's all agree to do this. We don't need laws. We don't need bills. Let's just all agree not to put asbestos in our buildings anymore. Let's just all agree that, hey, businesses,
Can we trust you not to put PFAS in the water? Hey, pinky swear. Come on, pinky swear. All right, they pinky swore. We can trust them. Like,
sadly, humans aren't all that 100% trustable.
Representative Krug and I got into this last week when we were talking about raising the minimum wage. And his argument of, well, businesses are just going to, you know, inherently do this because they have to, because the market has told them to. No, they're not going to do that.
Not if they don't have to.
If a business can save a penny, it's going to do it. And if they can lowball people, that's what they're going to do. And if you can't stay in business, then you're not good at business. You got to get better at it. Like, I am the first person one of the first people in the world to fight for local and to fight for mom and pop businesses. It's a big part of my family's legacy is that kind of work. I'm a big proponent of that. You hear me every day talking about it. Once a segment practically talking about it. But we kind of started this whole thing with America being capitalism and being about, hey, the strongest survive and all this. Well, okay, you can't have it both ways. You can't say if you're good at business, you will be okay. But if you're not, come on. I mean, some of this stuff has just gone way down, way too far in the wrong direction.
And the one thing that we have to remember too, that I don't know, it sometimes gets overlooked, especially by those way on top. But if you're stomping down on everybody else underneath you, who is going to benefit from what you're doing? You. But if your objective is to better your community and better your economy, every single person being raised up, like what is the term you always say, James?
A rising tide raises all boats.
There you go. And individually, if we're doing better, the community is doing better.
I really do use a lot of metaphors and idioms. I really do.
That's a good one, though, and it's worth mentioning more than once, I would say.
We got a note about the station here. I wanted to make sure to mention, if you are planning on stopping by today, be sure to do it before 3:45. Our offices will be closing about 3:45 today.
Ah, yes.
Keep that in mind.
And can I do another audible? I tried to do this at the beginning of this particular segment, but peek behind the curtain, I forgot to unmute my mic. But I have some breaking news, James.
Got it. What do you got?
I have it. The city of Wisconsin Rapids has put out their survey for naming the dog park. They've got three choices that you get to respond to starting today.
Oh, that is so cool. What are the names?
Yeah. Okay. So the three top finalists for the naming of the dog park is Rapids Park and Bark Dog Park, Rapids Barks and Rec Dog Park, or Rapids Room to Zoom Dog Park.
Oh, those are fun.
Yeah, and you can head over to wirapids.org/dogpark and put your vote in. You have between now and September 19th at 8 a.m.
Oh, I know what I'm voting for. I'm definitely jumping in on this. That's going to be really fun. That's a great local good story right there. Again, I encourage you to go to wirapids.org and check that out and get in on the voting.
Yeah, get your voting in.
wirapids.org. Got a couple other local good things we want to touch on. One of them, a shout out to the people of Wausau and to Mayor Katie Rosenberg, who are, along with the law enforcement out there and the officials in the Jewish community, in their panel discussion about freedom of speech in that area.
Yes, and that's going to be on the 18th.
For those that don't know, that Wausau has seen a huge increase in the last 5 years in anti-Semitism and anti-Semitism-related topics and things. Mm-hmm. I would have liked them to do this a long time ago, but at least they're doing it. So yes. I'm thankful for that. And I appreciate the good people of Wausau who don't have somewhere to fight from on this. Maybe they're not Jewish, but they still care. Thank you for that, because we don't have a lot of that anymore in society. We need more of it.
We want to make our communities more inclusive.
Yeah. And to the cowards out there that like to promote this stuff and everything, you're cowards. Show your face. Put your name on it. You know, it's always these pamphlets. They always leave them in places. They never put their name on anything. They never want to see anybody. Going way back to the KKK, where they got to hide themselves in their hoods and everything. You don't see me hiding. You don't see me. I got a Star David right on my arm, baby. I'm not hiding. My people don't hide. You don't see black people hiding who they are or anything like that. Own yourself. Own your hate. Be who you are. Let us see you. And then we know who to avoid. A big good story right here going on today right in Wisconsin Rapids. Come out and support the Buckley-Baldwin VFW Post 2534 by eating at Culver's.
They're at Culver's today, and 10% of the proceeds is going to go into the Post and right back into the community.
Mm-hmm. VFW members will be door greeters from 4 to 8 each of the following on tonight. Please stop in, say hello, thank them, and support your local veterans of foreign wars.
Yes.
4 to 8, at get some Culver's in your life today. That's going to be a good one.
I'm telling you to go to Culver's. That's, you know, that's it's a hard thing to do.
I know.
Not... They have the best French fries.
Yeah, I know we ask a lot of our audience sometimes, but yes, we're telling you.
Have a butter burger.
Yeah, get more Culver's in your life, everybody.
Their salads are great, too.
We appreciate that. And I want everybody to get in on the chicken naming contest. Go to wiscountry.com/chicken.
Names are pouring in. Yours in now.
They really are. We've got some great prizes for this. We'll be announcing real soon. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be
Probably get this week, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this week. We'll be announcing that this week.
Okay, good. Because I can't wait.
Chopping at the bit. I love it. Go to wiscountry.com/chicken. Again, wiscountry.com/chicken. You can enter up to 3 names. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. And be sure to join us today from 3 to 4 for Midday Magazine. In part 1, Lacey Ayling from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce going to join us.
Awesome.
And in part 2, Lindsay Scheider is going to join us from Let's Talk Real Estate and Coldwell Banker Seer Realtors.
Ooh, she'll have some.